All right, Matthew, this is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus went up on a little mount. Matthew 5, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to begin at 17. He's been talking about the salt of the earth and the light. Salt preserves, light shows. So those are two things that the church, has to have, salt and light. The salt makes sure that, otherwise the world would just perish. If it didn't have salt, and we're the salt, it keeps the world going. Otherwise, if you only had corrupt people, there would be no world. God would end it, it'd be over. But because of salt, there's still hope. The meat won't rot yet. And so the salt is a preservative. It's not, you know, to make life interesting. It's actually to preserve people until they meet Jesus or decide not to. And then take the reward of whatever they do. The light is to show people by our lives how to live. Your life should be such an attraction to others that they should see the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all those kind of things that the world's attracted to. It's not attracted to Jesus. The world doesn't want Jesus. In fact, if it sees Jesus, it'll kill him. And that includes you, if it sees you. You know, it doesn't want Jesus. But what it does want is the fruit. And it's trying to get fruit too. And it doesn't know how to get the fruit. And, of course, the answer is Jesus, and they were hoping that wouldn't be the answer. It's like, oh, let it be not Jesus. How come you're happy, you know, Jesus? Oh, I wished it was drugs or something. I wish it was, you know, a new girlfriend or something. I said, Jesus? Tried him. I don't like him. So a lot of people don't like Jesus. And the reason they don't like Jesus, actually, they would like Jesus if they knew him. The reason they don't like him is because they don't like Moses. I'm going to say that again. The reason why people don't want Jesus is because they don't want Moses. In other words, they don't want to have a law over their life that condemns the way they live. Isn't that funny of people? You don't think that's funny? That is funny. People don't like to be told that they're wrong. They don't like that. Now, Jesus doesn't tell you you're wrong. He just says, I'll save you if you know you're wrong. But he doesn't tell you that you're wrong. So a lot of people don't like the Moses part. Actually, the Jews don't mind Jesus at all. It's just they don't like Moses. See, it's their own guy they don't like. Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Your problem is not me, it's Moses. Do y'all understand that? That's our problem, too. Our problem is not Jesus. You know, how many here are born again? But that doesn't mean anything. You can be born again and still not have any fruit in your life because of Moses. You see, Jesus will forgive you, but you got to sin. And the only way you can know that is to listen to Moses. Moses is the guy that tells you that. All right, let's read here where Jesus is starting off his ministry. And it's been Moses all the way. And everybody's been, you know, not listening to Moses. So let's see what Jesus does to Moses. 5:17, Matthew 5:17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. In other words, don't think I came to end Moses. The Jewish Moses law thing, that's still on. And so, for me, if I had heard that in the beginning, I would probably not have become a Christian. I'm not a law keeper, I'm a law breaker. I'm just not much for doing someone else's thing. I'm for doing my own thing, no matter what. Defending it to the hilt. You know, just, I don't know, I like sin. I've always liked sin. I've had a kind of a like for it since I've been little. Anybody else like me? I don't know why. If you tell me the right way to go through that door, I'll try to find a way along the wall or something. I'll try to find a shortcut. I don't want to shoot down the fairway. I want to shoot over the woods and try to get on that way. I always want to go short. You know, sort of find the key or the secret or the easy way. I'm just into that. Is anybody else like me? You know, just, is there an easier way to do this than the way God has rooted the thing out, you know? Because I can tell that's for the average person. But I certainly don't want to be average. come on, I'm not average. I'm above, you know, surpassing. Everybody's like that. Even the average person wants to be not average. That's funny. So Jesus said, don't think I've come. You're thinking it. I know what you're thinking. Don't think. I'm going to tell you from the outset, don't think I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I haven't come to destroy anything. Actually, I've come to fulfill, make it happen. So I'm going to wander away a little bit here. Now, here's how God set up his law. I'll make a little Ten Commandment thing here. So there's the Ten Commandments, and that's the law. Can you all follow that? So you can see it. All right, so God wants us to follow the law. He wants us to be holy. Okay, be ye holy as I am holy. So holy, that's what God's always wanted. Be holy as I'm holy. And the problem with that is we're not. You know, there's never been a child born in the earth that wanted to do what he was told. The children don't, they want to disobey, and that's why they have to be spanked. Okay? So God will judge you if you don't do what's said. You know, he'll put a judgment upon you. And so ever since the time began when Adam and Eve first jumped on the earth, first thing he did was went out and said, what's this over here? Oh, yeah, don't eat that. And Eve just waited till Adam was, you know, doing something. And all of a sudden, she just ate the apple and then offered it to him. Hey, this was cool. God said not to eat it. I'll tell you what, this is fun. This is good. I feel really good. And there's something neat about being naughty. I don't know what it is. There's just something neat about rebelling. Is anybody into that, you know? He says, when the parent says, don't, there's something in me that translates that into, I'm going to do it as soon as you're not looking. Because I know you'll be angry at me and try to punish me if I do. But I just want to know why you said don't. It looks good to me. You know, that thing you said not to do. Now, don't you ever do this. And that, well, a little kid will just keep that in the back of his head and wait till there's a moment, an opportunity. And then, particularly if a friend offers it to you. Remember Satan came along, a little snake in the garden? He said, did God say, you can't eat of any trees? Not going to have any fun? Not going to have any life? Is that the kind of God you have, a stingy, nasty God? Yeah, that's right. He did say that. Well, he lied. God's a liar. I mean, know that God always tells the truth. But Satan said he was a friend and God was an enemy, and he told the truth and God lied. He kind of reversed everything. Isn't that cool? And people bought that. Isn't that amazing? How could anyone be that dumb to think that God was bad and the devil was good? And that God lied and the devil told truth? But that's the way it is. And your flesh goes along with that. Is, hey, you know what? Sounds like more fun to go with what that guy just said rather than that other guy. How many have fallen for that once or twice? You know, it's just like, wow. So Eve was told, you know, hey, sweetheart, look, let me just level with you. You know, you're curious about this tree, are you not? And women are curious. How many know that? They're curious. They're just curious. They want to know. I mean, they just want to know. I say, well, thus and so and thus and so. And Peg wants to know more details on that. She just wants to get into that. It's, honey, you don't need to know. Well, I just want to, you know, find out. You know, guys are just bottom line. Don't. Do. But girls, they want to get into it and kind of, you know, get a hold of it, get a grasp on it. So, you know, God told them, don't eat of that tree. You know, no big explanation, except the day you eat of it, you'll die. But, you know, the devil came along and said, oh, my gosh, sweetheart, did he say that? You won't die? My God, it's just the opposite. It's the opposite of that. He said you'd die? Don't go by God's word. That is no way to live. Sweetheart, if you eat that, you'll be like God. He knew that. He just wanted to cheat you. How many know that women feel cheated? That's a woman thing, to feel like, you know, I've been cheated. And I bet I'm about to be cheated again. That is a woman thing. That is a woman thing. And guys' thing is to do the cheating. I mean, so it's like, you know, I mean, it kind of works out cool that way. So the devil is a liar, but he actually pretends like he's just a pretender. Pretends like he's telling the truth, and we fall for it. We fall for that. which is amazing. So Jesus said, don't think I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I haven't come to destroy, but to fulfill, actually to make you holy. And it's like, oh, good. See, a lot of us, if we knew that our sins could be forgiven and then removed, we wouldn't be that excited about it. See, one of the things that's fun about life is eating stuff. You know, eating whatever you want, like salt and sugar and fat. How many know those are the things that make food interesting? You know, I know it's a source of a lot of disease, but those are the things that make people, you know, salivate. Just the stuff that God says not to do is the very thing I want to do. Don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with those that do. You know, that I want to try that smoke out, and that chew. And so, you know, people are just, they're bound to try it. Well, I'm not going to go into it whole hog. I'm just going to try it a little bit, see if I like it. I mean, I believe God's telling the truth that it's not good for you. I just thought I'd try it. There's people that are like that. They don't want to go just on word. See, God just says, trust me, don't do it. And it's like, oh, I do kind of trust you, and I'm not going to do it, but I'm just going to try it. I'm not really going to do it. I mean, I'm not going to plunge right in. I'm going to just get on the edge of it. I'm not going to take a whole pack. I'm just going to try a puff or two. I want to see if it'll give me that thing that they say it'll give me. Because I'm into happiness, and I feel I'll be cheated if I don't do it. How many know that sin cometh in, you know, it just cometh subtly like that. It doesn't, you know, you don't just go up and kill somebody. But you can kill them slowly. By ignoring them, not forgiving them, being mean to them. You know, that's the way to kill. Don't just go and kill somebody. Boy, flesh even knows better than that. But we do our disobedience in small increments. And we often do them in the dark. We often do the things that we do. We don't like to just come right out and let everybody know, I'm going to cheat you and take all your money. We often don't say it that way. We actually cover it with lies and say, let me give you a deal here. And it's actually not a good deal at all. And that's just the way we advertise one thing and actually deliver another. It's kind of like politics. You know, I'm for you. You can call me anytime. You know, I'll represent you forever. I'm Honest John. And the guy's actually a filthy liar. He's totally for himself. He's totally not for you at all. He's working for Motorola or somebody else. But he'll lie to you to get your vote. Have you ever noticed that life is like that? Thank God we're not like that. Thank God we're not like that. So Jesus said, don't think I've come to destroy the law. I have not come to do away with Judaism. I'm not coming to do away with Moses. I've come to fulfill the law so that you'll all keep it. Isn't that your one prayer, your one desire? God, just show me what's right and I'll do it. How many know? That is our one. God, please, if I just knew it was right, I would do it. I'd do it. I mean, I would do it. So all of us are inveterate liars. We are clever, deceitful, hypocritical people. Amen? I mean, what we just don't do it openly. You know, it's like in Africa, they wear these scary masks, you know, and that's called witchcraft. Well, we don't do it that way. We do it subtly. We have the same stuff, we just do it subtly. You know, in other countries, they're corrupt. In our countries, we just use lawyers. Y'all, we're going to pay somebody to do something, you know, and we just call it by a different name. We just don't like to openly, like stupid Africans with those scary masks and witchcrafty stuff, you know. We don't do it that way, but we have our own subtle ways of witchcrafting ourselves. Do y'all understand? There's nothing new. There's no difference between the most primitive society and us. They're not barbarians and we're civilized. We just do it, we have more lies. We have more deception. We're more satanic, you see. They just come out and put a mask that looks like Satan. See, they just, boo. We don't do it that way. We put a Jesus face on, and then, you know, we're worse, 50 times worse than Satan. That's just the cleverness. That's how clever we are. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Am I too subtle? So Jesus said, don't think I've come to do away with Moses and the law. I want you to be holy. I want you to be the way I want you to be. I don't want you to go your own way. And two of the things, look here, don't look at the customers coming in.
Look over here.
Two of the things is, number one, people tend to be legalistic. That is, they do the right thing, but they do it like hypocrites. In other words, they're just doing externally. Does that make sense? People do the right thing, but they're doing it in the flesh. Like they'll come to church, but they're really not here to worship God. They're just here to, you know, who knows what? You know, but it's not always. So they're just legalistic. They're hypocrites. They're not really in love with Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. You know, and they're really not paying attention to what they're saying or doing. They're just going through some ritual. How many know that people can do that in church? They're not all here because of God. God goes, wow, look at all the customers I got. Most of them are not even paying attention. God bless you. You know, and we're just not there. And that's okay with God. You know, he can see right through you, and he can see when you're really genuine and when you're not. You know, so, you know, God's not fooled by that. But a lot of people are just legalistic rather than openly licentious. So those are the two ways you can go in this world. Openly licentious. You know, just obviously wicked. And you know, you get both. You get both. There are people that come to you and obviously wicked. And it's easier to deal with the wicked than it is with the legalistic. Because the legalistic doesn't even know. A lot of times they're just hypocritically deceiving you. But a lot of times they're even deceiving themselves before they deceive you. Did you just tell a lie? No. No. I swear I didn't. You know, and you can't tell whether the person's lying about lying or telling the truth. Do y'all understand that? And so when people sin, you can't tell. You don't know. They don't even want to know. I don't even know that I just lied. You know, you can do that to yourself. Is I know I lied, but I don't know that I know that I know that. I don't know that I know that. You can use religion to actually cover sin. I think Jesus told me to divorce you. That's a good one. That's a good one. I wasn't going to do it, but Jesus told me it was okay. I love that. That is so cool. Use Jesus to do a devil thing. Even though the law says, don't do it, I'll figure out a way legalistically to make it okay. Y'all understand that? Well, I did it. I didn't just kill the person. A voice told me to kill a person. Say, that is cool. And then we call that person crazy. And they go, yeah, that's me. Crazy. But see, we actually can use that to our own advantage. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drunk. I didn't know. Did I say that? I did? I can't believe it. You know, if I'd have been in my right mind, I wouldn't have said something like that. And so people will do all kinds of things just to justify the thing they wanted to do. A lot of times they're getting drunk, not so that, you know, they would feel happy and so on. It's just so they can do some things they wouldn't have done normally. Right? Amen. It's kind of, you know, to get into a mood and a mode where you're not really, you know, altogether there, so you can excuse yourself. I mean, you wouldn't want to do it when you were sober. You can say things you wouldn't have normally said. You can do things you wouldn't have normally done. Because you're like a child. You know, you're almost immoral because you don't have any, you know, your mind isn't working real well. So, did I say that? Can't believe it. So people will call me up. You know, a person that's been in church, and they'll call me up at 3 in the morning from some bar, and they'll start cursing and swearing and so on and so on, and they just don't sound like themselves. Is this really you, my Sunday school teacher? Just you? You so-and-so and such-and-such and so on and so forth. I've told you, I don't respond to people when they do that. I treat them as though they were, you know, the Sunday school teacher. Dave? Oh, I have to stay behind this. I have to stay behind this microphone. Sorry, microphone. All right, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, one tittle, that little dots in the Hebrew, you know, text, not one jot or one tittle will pass away. Nothing is going to pass away. This word is not going to pass away. This truth, this holiness of God will not pass away till everything be fulfilled. There's no way that whatever I wrote down in this document is not going to happen. So God's law You'll never change it. Anybody here who thinks, you know, you can out-sin God or trick him or whatever, don't worry. He's going to get everything done just the way he said. He always wins. The devil, the other guy, never wins. Always loses. I'm telling you, you already know this. A lot of you know this. Even before you do the sin or whatever the thing was that you weren't supposed to do, you already know it's wrong. And not only that, you know it's not going to actually make you happy, but you will feel good for a half an hour or, you know, a month or something. And you'll do it knowing it isn't going to work. You even know it yourself. What is wrong with you, someone will say. Don't you know what you're doing? And it's kind of like you do. You actually do know. Well, I just wanted to have a little bit of break in my otherwise boring life. Do you know that a lot of people sin just because they're bored? You know, they just have like nothing to do. It's like a teenager. Hey, what's happening? What's going on? Where are you going to be? All right, I'll be there. You know, come pick me up. And teenagers like to be on the move all the time. You know, they just hate sitting at home being boring. I always ask my kids, where are you going? Don't you want to stay here with mom and me? Where are you going? Well, I'm just going to go out with the kids. Oh, what for? I don't know. You don't even know what you're going to do tonight? And you don't know why you're going to go? Hey, just stay here. You can talk to us. You know, you don't even know what you're going to do. I mean, don't know. Well, it's just, you know, I'd like to have a big talk with you. I'm giving them something they could know. You see, people are funny. People are funny. Aren't people funny? Thank God we're not a people. We're not an ordinary people. We're extraordinary. Think not that I've come to destroy. I haven't, but to fulfill. When you fulfill something, that means whatever it was originally intended to do or accomplish, that's what's going to be done. You were made by God to be holy. You were made to, you know, just say that, I am made to be holy. See? But that is not the way you've lived. You were made not to sin, but everybody in this room did. It's amazing. From the time you were, you know, one and, you know, whatever, one and a half or something, you've been doing everything, you know, that you weren't supposed to do. How many didn't do everything wrong, but you did one or two things? You didn't do everything, but you did one or two things. You know, well, if you just break one of them, it's over. With God, it's like you got to be perfect. I mean, it's like, okay, I didn't do everything. My God, what do you think I am? Okay, but you see, if you just break one point of the law, you've broken the whole law. Let's say you kill one person. I didn't kill everybody. I just killed one. They still put you in jail as a murderer. You could have killed 50, and they'd still put you in jail as a murderer. They don't care if you killed 50 or one. Just one's enough. Isn't that funny? But, sir, you know, I was going 80 in a 20 zone. Yes, but it's the first time I did it. Oh, I didn't know that. You're okay. Well, no problem. They don't. You see, the law doesn't have any mercy in it. It's just don't do it or else. You see what I'm saying? And so everybody would like to get rid of that. Everybody would like to get rid of that. Nations, families, people, businessmen, everybody. Children, dogs. No, the dogs, they don't care. But everything else, because they get kicked. But everything else, you know, people just want to break the law. There's something in us that's a law-breaking spirit. It's just sinful. Sometimes God calls us sinners. You're a sinner. You know, you didn't just do a sin. You are kind of like, you liken it so much that you do it frequently. Isn't that amazing? So you have what's called a tendency, where you're tending towards sin. If you could go the right way and you could go the wrong way, you might tend to go the wrong way. Even when you go the right way legalistically, you might be inside licentious. Well, a lot of people might come to church for a wrong reason. You know, we're here, you know, to worship God so that he's really pleased, but actually we might be here for our own pleasure. Isn't that amazing? It would be funny that you sit here and you don't really tell people, no, I'm just here to get everything for me. But you pretend like, well, I'm here, God, doesn't it please you? And you even feel a little bit good about being in the right place, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so you're going to get credits. You know in the Bible it says you don't get any credits. If you did everything God said, you don't get any credits for that. That's just what you were created to do. You just don't go to hell. But you know, I like credits. All of us are into that. We're into credit accumulation. How's my credit? It's very good. So we like to have a good credit report. By the way, just sign up as you go out and I'll put in a good word with the boss. All right. For verily, truly, I'm telling you the truth, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. In other words, the world will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. If he said, be holy, he means it. And you're not going to go to heaven without holiness. Without holiness, you will not see God. Somebody say, well, I'm getting in by mercy. That's cute. That is cute. Very good. Very cute. But you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Without holiness, you're not getting in. Well, I thought there was mercy. Yes, yes, there's mercy. Okay, so you want to make mercy over here, the cross, Jesus, all that. You want to make mercy the way you get in. Mercy. Let's see. I got two ways to get in. Be holy or be forgiven. Through mercy. Because in the one case, I get killed. In the other case, he gets killed. Which one do you want? No, so most of us would choose B. And because we believe that A is done. We believe, hey, if there's another way to go where you can sin and still get in, I'll take the sin and still get in rather than the sin and go to hell. That just sounds better to me. How many know that sounds better? Because it seems to fit us. The sin and then go to heaven anyway through mercy, rather than the sin and go to hell because you didn't do it. It just seems better. And from a selfish point of view, from a personal point of view, I like that one because I feel I can achieve it. I think I can do the sin and then take the mercy and be real appreciative for a few minutes and then go to heaven. I feel I can handle that. Everybody wants to do that. How many know that is a better way? That's what Christianity is all about. The Jews are in big trouble because they got the sin and go to hell, go to, die and all that stuff. They don't have one of these. They don't have one of these. This is what makes us sharp. This is better than being in a synagogue, Of course, they've learned their little tricks too. Isn't that funny? How the Jewish people have learned tricks. I don't know if they got it from us. I think they actually had it before we got to the game. I think they also know they did wrong, but you don't hear them usually saying that. Did you know that most Jewish people blame the anti-Semites, the people that are the Gentiles? Well, we'd have been okay, but a lot of people hate us. And so they write books, and they don't ever write a book saying they were wrong and evil. They always write a book about how other people were wrong and evil toward them. That is cool. That's making yourself innocent and a victim. Just because we're Jewish, you all hate us. Now the Muslims kind of have that idea. You all hate us because we're Muslim. No, we don't. We just hate you because we hate. It's not because you're Muslim. We just hate people. It isn't because you did anything wrong. You don't have to even do anything wrong. We'd hate you anyway. Remember Jesus? He didn't do anything wrong. We hated the guy. Killed him. Just wiped them out. Are you all where I am? I don't think it's wrong to lie. I just think it's wrong to lie to yourself. I don't think lying is a big thing. You just have to bring that before God and say, God, I lied. But don't lie to yourself saying, I didn't lie when you did. Now you're really going to mess yourself up. I'm a good Christian. I'm innocent. I've been a victim my whole life. this is a favorite game of our age. I've been a victim of circumstances. I meant well. It wasn't my fault. And we have no fault divorce now. It's nobody's fault. We're all innocent. It's just, one of those things. We did love each other at one point, but now we've fallen out of love. Isn't that funny of people? Y'all looking kind of sober. Isn't that funny? That's one of our tricks. Man, Peggy and I, we didn't love each other, but we stuck it out anyway. You make your bed, you lie in it. Be miserable. Or grow up. And the way God grows you up is kill you. I don't like the way, you're behaving and handling stuff, so I'll just kill you. And we have to volunteer for that. God, could I be killed today? Thank you. I appreciate that. Because, we're just no good. If we're alive, we're no good. I know this is subtle stuff, but try to follow. Try to follow with me. Now, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He gave you this because he loves you. This is to show you that the good you thought you were doing wasn't any good. The reason he gave the law was to stop you from thinking that your idea of good is good, that you think there is a good, but what you thought was good wasn't good. And that was the wrong part. So you were right. There is a good and there is a bad. Where you were wrong is you thought some of the stuff you did was good. All the stuff you did was bad. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, no one is righteous, no, not one. All that kind of stuff. And so I'm telling you, that is the key to life, is to just come before God and say, God, you know everything you said not to do? I did it, or I thought about it, or I wanted to do it, or I didn't do it, but it was just legalistic. So I did it, because I wanted to do it in my heart. How many times did you not do something, but you wanted to do it? You know, I mean, you didn't do it because there are consequences. And the reason you didn't do it was because of consequences. Not because you didn't want to do it. You wanted to do it and get away with it, but you knew you probably couldn't. So you'd either go to hell or some husband would punch you out or something. You know, there'd be a consequence to it. So you didn't do it. But that isn't because you're good and virtuous. I didn't do everything in my life. I didn't do everything. But it wasn't because I was a Christian or Jesus or something. It was just simply I thought about the consequence of that thing. Well, you know, that's not too bright right now. I'll do it when no one's looking. Or I'll do it in another way. I'll sublimate. Does everybody know what that is? We sublimate. I'll sublimate. You know, I won't do that, but because I can't do that and I'm cheating myself, I'll do this over here. You know, for example, if you don't have a husband that loves you, you can eat a lot. Hello? And if you don't eat a lot, and you don't have a husband that loves you, you can yell at him. I mean, we got different ways of doing it so that we still have a right to do something wrong. I mean, you will come up with ways, smart and subtle. You're like a snake, you know, or as the lady said in Gone with the Wind, you're like a spider. I like that. That is cool. She's just like a spider. And we're like spiders. You know, we make these webs and stuff, and it's just all trickery. And God, you know, God is real smart. He can see through all your spider webs. He can see all your snake bites. He can just see right through you. He can see your thoughts. I don't even know what I'm thinking, but he does. You know, he does, and he indicts all of us. So don't think Christianity. Now, I don't even want to talk about all this. This was just to get you to where I want to get you. Okay, here's the part I wanted to get you to, is the whole point of your life is to bear fruit, okay? So this fruit bearing, this is the glory of your life. It's what you do, okay? Now, God told you to do it down here, forgave you for not doing it here, but he wants you to do it here. So that third one, the third one is that a lot of Christians just want to stop at number two. Hey, whoa, stop. No. He wants you to go from one, where you see you didn't do it, to two, where he forgives you, to three, to get back and do it again. And so here's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is here. He's working in you to will and to do. Okay? So the Holy Spirit will help you to will and then to do. So he's in you to will and to do. So, hey, that's kind of cool because, you know, by nature, I'm not able to will and to do. I'll will my own will and I'll do my own thing. But with the Holy Spirit, all you got to say is you're sorry at number two, and then the Holy Spirit comes on you and you get number three. Isn't that cool? You don't even have to even do it. Wow, that's made for me. There's one that's made for me. Because, Jim, did you do wrong? Yes, sir. Do you want me to forgive you? Yes, sir. Do you want me to help you? No, sir. I mean, no, oh, yeah, of course. I mean, he actually wants you to be holy. I mean, really, truly holy. He just found another way to do it because you didn't want to go his number one way. Did you know that God never expected anybody to do number one? And here Jesus come along and saying, don't think I've come to do away with the law. But that one tells me to be good. Be holy as I am holy. But actually, it's not a command, it's a promise. Listen to how Jesus reads number one. You shall be holy, because I'm holy. Now that's a command, see? You shall be holy. But I read it this way. I'll read it the way Jesus reads it. You shall be holy, because I'm holy. In other words, I with my holiness will help you with your unholiness to become holy. That's cool. It's all a free gift. I like to read it that way. You see how Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees? Because they were reading it in a negative way. You shall be holy, you unholy, wretched people. Get holy. And that's the way most churches teach Christianity. That's the way they teach, you know, Judaism and Muslim. Hey, five times a day, on the knees. You know, and they're just into, if you do everything right, then you go to heaven. Jesus is not into that. Jesus knows better. That might be good for a cow or something. That doesn't work with people. Imagine, you know, you just can't put that on people. People are selfish. They have their own way. No matter why God made them or how God made them, they kind of go their own way. Remember, God had this whole people called the Jewish people. He told them, all right, now, you're going to be different than every other nation. You will actually be what I made you to be so that I can indict the other nations and show them what I had in mind as salt and light. But he never got the Jewish people. That's one of the problems. He just never could get them. They were just stubborn and stiff-necked and sinful. Isn't that neat? They were just stubborn, stiff-necked, and sinful. Thank God we're not Jewish. Thank God. Thank God. You see what I'm saying? So, no, God, he knew, and it isn't just Jewish people that are like this. It's just that was the group I picked. And you know, even at one time he wanted to kill them off. He said, you know, Moses, step out of the way. I'm going to kill this people. I want a people. I'm telling you, I want a good people. Moses said, look, God, here's your problem. You kill this people, what do you got? Well, I got you, Moses. I may be Jewish myself, you know. I mean, I don't think I'm any better. God says, you're right. You're right. You got a good point there. So all the other nations are going to wonder where the light and salt is. You kill off this people, they're not going to be anybody. So finally, it was down to Jesus. Finally, Jesus said, you know, Father, I'll do it all. And he said, I want to do it for Jewish people and non-Jewish people. I'm going to die for them. So that's where we kind of stopped. As soon as we heard that, we kind of stopped. Hey, we can sin and be forgiven, sin and be forgiven, sin and be forgiven. One and two, one and two, one and two, one, two, one, two. I mean, that just is a rhythm that makes sense. Skip the three part. Okay? Now here, if the root is holy, then the tree should be holy. It'll produce fruit. You don't get fruit from the root. You get fruit from the tree. So a root should produce a tree that'll produce a fruit. Now, what if I say I have a tree but I don't have any fruit? Then I don't have a tree. I mean, the whole point of a tree is to bear fruit. You should have leaves that don't wither and fruit that, you know, comes in its season. Will and do. You see, if you're a Christian, two, then it's only because you're rooted in one, which you know God's holy and he wants holiness, then there should be fruit that proves it. Three. You all understand that? Most churches teach two and skip three. You know, it's kind of like, well, you're a two, so you don't need to do, you know, don't get into this holy root thing, because, you know, hey, we cut those roots off. We're just starting right here all afresh, new, and let Jesus do it all, and he's done in number two, so there is no three. I don't read that in the Bible. I don't read that. I'm sorry. Faith doesn't save you. Faith is active. Faith alone just gets you to a tree. But if you really have a tree, you got to have fruit to prove that you had a tree. Faith will regenerate you. It'll get you into the root, the holy root, so that you'll be a holy tree. But then to prove that, you'll have the fruit. How many are really excited about that? Well, I want to live this life. I don't want to just talk. I'm not a big talker, hypocrite type Christian. I want to be a real Christian. How many are here for that? Amen. Praise God. Well, that's actually God's will. That's really what he wanted. He always said, you shall be holy. Remember I told you it's a promise. A promise goes all the way to three. It doesn't end at two. Most Christians today, if you tell them, oh, you've sinned, it's all right, Jesus forgives me. That's cool. You see, then they stop right here because they don't want to go ahead and actually be any good. They don't want to be any good in their marriage, in their business, or whatever. They don't want to really build the kingdom of God. They want to build their own kingdom. Keep sinning, number one, and then get forgiven, number two, and that's it. Sin forgiven. One, two. I like it. But that's God says, no. There's also power. There's not only, you know, that this is this holy root, I'm keeping it, God says. Don't think I've come to destroy this. I'm keeping it. I'm not going to end Moses. I'm just adding Jesus to it so that you get a new tree so that you can bear the fruit. Because Moses couldn't get any fruit. A root won't bear fruit. Did you ever notice that? You can cut a tree down and then go look at the root and see if it's got any fruit on it. It won't work. You can't get fruit from root. One won't produce three. One's got to produce two that produces three. You got to have a tree. What if you had a tree without a root? That's not going to produce fruit either. You ever see a tree, you cut it off, you know, and go out and try to get some plums? Hey, I'll just bring that in the house here. Cut that tree down, stick it in your house, get the plums. A tree won't bear fruit either without a root. A root won't bear fruit without a tree. You see that? So Jesus is saying something cool here. He's saying the end of your faith is not just being forgiven. The end of your faith is letting the Holy Spirit operate through your life so you're bearing all the fruit. Then to God be the glory. Sorry. I hope you heard that in the distance. I'm no closer. All right. Whosoever, therefore, shall break, this is number one now, one of the least commandments, and shall teach men to do so. In other words, it's okay, God's not serious about one. He is. Anybody who then breaks one of the least commandments and teaches other men to do so, that same person shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you ain't making it. But whosoever shall do and teach them, number three, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So when you go to heaven someday, you can only go if you have three. Two doesn't have any meaning. It might just be words. You're just using two to avoid one. No. Two is built into one to produce a three. Did you all follow that? Now, I'll prove that. I'm going to prove it by giving you scripture after scripture after scripture, and I could do 100 of them, but I could do 500. But I'm just going to give you a few to prove that what I just said is true, that he actually wants you to do in this world the kingdom of God. I mean, do it like people could look at you and actually see it actually, really, not just talk. There's a lot of talk in the body of Christ, but there's not a lot of walk. Okay? But first of all, before I do that, I want to make sure you understand what it is. For I say unto you, this is so good. This is Jesus now talking, number two guy, that except your righteousness exceed, go further than, go beyond the Jewish people, number one type people, unless your righteousness is greater than theirs. You know, not less, like they had the law and they didn't do it. We have the gospel and we don't do it either. That's not going beyond them. That's going actually backward, like, hey, they sinned and went to hell. We sin and go to heaven. That's smart. It's cool. So most Christians today are, you know, they don't try to stop adultery. They don't try to stop divorce. They don't try to stop anything. You can just live as you wish. Just make sure you tithe. Now, they are into tithes. And if you went to most churches, and I don't, but if you, it's my job not to, but I notice they always have a lot on money. You have never, ever, ever heard me talk on money. Never. I'm not saying I never will, but I'm not inclined to right now. It's not because it's not the right thing. It's because you're not grown up. You might do it legalistically. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, if the Holy Spirit does it, praise the Lord. I have no idea how he keeps this thing going. You see? But he does. It's amazing to me. It's amazing how he does it. You know, anyway, it's just amazing. So, God said, I want this Jewish thing done, and if the Jews won't do it, I'll pick some new Jews. I'll get some new Christian-type Jews. Messianic Jews. That's what's happening in our day. A lot of Jewish people are becoming Christian to fulfill all righteousness. They're wanting to go all the way. And they're realizing, you know, Judaism is not going to get us there. And a lot of Christians are stuck on number two and won't go on to number three. And you won't even win the Jews, number one, unless they see the number three type Christian. They want to see someone actually living it because they know one is still there. That was their background. But they never produced, because roots don't produce fruits. All their deeds are just flesh. The best they can do is the same as the world. Legalism and license. If you look at Jewish people, now they don't want to hear this, but too bad. All you've ever done is what natural man can do. There's nothing of God in it. None of your works were of God. Well, I read the Bible. That doesn't mean anything. You never listened to it. You read it. And, you know, sometimes you see them at the wall, and they're going like this, you know, nodding and so on, and really reading it, you know, read it in the Hebrew and so on. It doesn't help anything. You still go to hell. You go to hell for doing that. Hey, it's kind of cool. But you know what? That kind of religion is nothing. That's just talk. And we Christians doing the same thing. We go and sit in church as though, hey, I've been sitting in church for 10 years. I ought to go to heaven. Just because you go to church, you don't go to heaven. Well, I've been doing it. Well, did you produce any fruit? No, but I've been sitting in church. I've been a Christian for years. That ought to get me in. Not a weak old Christian. I've been doing this for a while. That doesn't get you in. It's the same as the Jewish thing. You see all the confusions in our minds? I know I'm not even touching most of you. I'm just saying stuff that other people in other churches fall for, but I know our people are more mature. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no case enter the kingdom of God. Now you know what the word least means. You ain't getting in. That's what it means. It doesn't mean like, well, I'll get in, but I'll just barely get in, but at least I got in. No, least means you ain't getting in at all. You won't even in any case get in. God's not going to accept you because you didn't have any root. You didn't have any fruit that proved you had a tree that was built on this root. You see, the Jewish root hasn't ever produced any fruit because it's got to produce a tree. And they killed Jesus. When they saw Jesus come along, he said, I'm here to give you some trees. It's killed him. We like our root thing. You're not producing anything. Well, we don't recognize you as having authority. So they killed Jesus, and actually Jesus said, cool, that's exactly what I was wanting. I wanted you to kill me. Actually, that's why I came. It's one of my fruits, is to be killed. Now, that's one of your fruits. Isn't that exciting? That God actually wants you no longer to run your life. Where you hand it over voluntarily and say, God, you know what? I've been making all my decisions. Not too hot, but I've been making them. And I made them for my own good. And, you know, cumulatively speaking, if I take an accounting, I haven't probably done any good, really. I maybe should have gone your way. I've thought about it. But since it meant the death of me, I was trying to figure out a way that I could keep my life and at the same time get in too. No, that's one of the deals. Not only Jesus dies for you too, but you die for him three, so that he can put his Holy Spirit in you and you can then will and do of his good pleasure. See, a lot of you are thinking, well, I haven't confessed all my sins, but I've confessed the biggies, but I've kept a lot of little ones, and I'm okay. No, you're not. You know, you got to die. You can't be running your life. You got to go and admit under number one, Lord, I've just lived my own life the way I wanted. I did a few things for you, but mostly they were legalistic. And, you know, I basically still want to stay alive. I don't want to die. I want to keep my life. Well, if you keep your life, you lose it, he says. Says he. That's what he says. He says, if you keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, my sake, if you'll do it my way, you'll actually find your life. Not only in heaven someday, but on earth too. You ever tried that? You ever tried to go all the way literally with God? Sorry. Did you ever try to go all the way literally with God to see if whether he's telling the truth or not? Maybe it would be a happier life. How do I know? What have I done? What have I gotten with all the ways I've gone my own ways all these days? What have I gotten? So God is saying, trust me. Just trust me. Lose your life for my sake. Lose your life. Let me take over. And you'll find your life. How many know that's the truth? That's the truth. Okay, here's another way. Don't lose your life. Try to keep it. See what happens. See what happens. What happens when you get your own way? What happens? You know, that ought to be your testimonies. You know what? For years, I did my own thing, and it never amounted to a hill of beans. I didn't find happiness. I tried to, you know, arrange my marriage in a certain way, and I tried to arrange my business in a certain way. I tried to arrange my health in a certain way. You know, I just did what I wanted. I didn't bother with the laws. I didn't bother with God's holy laws. I just did my own thing. Because there were shortcuts. I found shortcuts. Yes, God said to do it this way, but that was, you know, that was the hard way. I want to go the easy way. Remember what Jesus said about the easy way? Oh, if you go the easy way, that leads to death and destruction. I think I'll get away with it. How many of you are smarter than God is? God is like a dolt compared to you. How many of you know you're able to sit on a throne and make a judgment on that one? Hey, God, cool words. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but you know, in practice, I think I know what I'm doing. I know I'm married, but what about this other cute person? You know, I mean, I know I shouldn't be thinking things like that, let alone saying them, let alone doing them, but I think I'll try it out. I mean, because your way hadn't worked. It's been hell under your way. Try my own way. How many know that? That is cool thinking. That shows how brilliant we are. That is brilliant. Brilliant. Wow. God must be impressed. He's going, wow, did I make some smart people down there? No, God doesn't think you know how to think. He doesn't think your feelings are worth anything. Well, I just wanted to feel good. Well, do you? Well, I did for an hour. Okay. So what? Where's your everlasting joy? Where's your real happiness? The only way you're ever going to find happiness is when you trust God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. You know, go all the way. Just go all the way. How many know that's not, now, not, don't want to do it. Don't say you're going to do it. Do it. Three. And it's not a matter of wanting. Yeah, well, I always wanted to go the right way. It's just that I had some problems in my life that I was working out. I'm working on it. My God, I'm working on it. Don't work on it. Just do it. Just flat do it. Just jump in. Well, I'm getting closer to the edge. You know, just jump in. Right on my toes are there. Well, just jump in. All right, my heels are there. I'm rocking right back and forth. But I'm just scared of actually doing it. Well, you'll never learn anything until you jump in. Yeah, but it'll be my death. Yeah, that's right. You don't get to run your life. You just have to trust. Jump. I remember the first time I ever went up on a high board, you know, 35 feet up in the air or whatever, and as a little kid, you know, I got up there and I thought, I want to do what those guys are doing. Everybody else just jumping off and diving in. And I got up there, and it was, you know, hours when I was up there, just staying up there. No, you go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm just looking. I'm just watching people up from up here. It's a great place to watch. And you can't get down because everybody's coming up. You know, there's no way you get down. You know, so you finally just go over the edge and you jump. And you're scared, you know. But after you do it, it's okay. But you have to just trust God. Jump in. It's okay. Woohoo! Anybody have a testimony? You know, I've lived my own life. That didn't work. And I've lived God's way, and it did work. That's a testimony. I tried going this way. That didn't work. Then I tried just staying here for a long time. That didn't work. But now, this actually works. Let God have rule. And you have to do it voluntarily, by the way. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to force you to do it. It's your choice. You have free choice. But because the law is not love the Lord thy God with all thy might, it's with all thy heart and soul. You got to want to do it. Oh, yeah, well, I'll do it. That's just legalism if you just do it with all your might, but you didn't do it with all your heart, and all your soul. Wholehearted. God, I love it. I love pleasing you. I don't want to please myself at all. I mean, that's your death. You'd have to have a God that you trusted in. I mean, just don't trust any old God. You better make sure he's trustworthy. You better see whether this God is worthwhile following. Check Jesus out. See if the guy's really that happy. You know, if Jesus, are you really that happy? You know, I want to see after we killed you, what'd you say? Remember when they were killing him? He said, you know, Father, I'm not mad. I'm not trying to save my life. I could have not drunk the cup. I'm going for it, and I love it. I love it because I'm dying for all these people. Jesus thought it was a great deal, and he jumped up again a couple of days, said, see? Not bad. What's death? Death, death, where is thy sting? You know, Jesus was not, you know, he was not sad at all. He conquered that thing, and that scares a lot of people. Death, I'll tell you, scares a lot of people. I don't know about you, but death can be scary. But Jesus jumped up and said, it wasn't bad. I'll ride again. No, he didn't have to ride again. If you do it one time, you beat the thing, it's over. It's like, that's it? That's as much as the devil can do? That all the power? Nothing. I'm glad I trusted God. So Jesus trusted him and then said to you, look, to prove it, I'm going to give you my own Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the same Spirit I have. I'm going to give that to you. I'll live in you through the same Spirit, the Father, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of the Son. I'll give you our Spirit. You'll have it. You'll be just like us. Now, proof of that is three. You can't do a one, do a three. You can only do one, two, three. That's simple. You can't have fruit off of root. And you can't have fruit off a tree. You have to have tree on root to get fruit. Right? And everybody born of man has this root, you see, but it isn't bearing any fruit and it has no tree. Now, you've heard of the tree, you know about the tree, but are you producing fruit to prove that you have the tree? That's what God wants. Now, how many know this is a life-death thing? This is a life-death thing. Now, I'd like to have a testimony here of anybody. Does anybody here give a testimony? I'll give some scriptures in a minute. Testimony, have you tried this? Yes or no? Have you tried this? Okay. Okay, that's good. Amen. That's the way. Smart. But here you are. Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. Well, no, I'm not, but I want to. See, there's something there that each of us knows deep inside. That's what I was made for. I was made to be great, to be glorious. To bear fruit, but not my own glory. That's a little different there. It's His glory. But that you were made to win. You were made to succeed. You were not made to fail. You were not made to feel guilty. God never, never, ever wanted you to carry guilt on you. He wanted to immediately take the guilt off. One produces guilt. But He took that off and said, okay, no more guilt. Now let's bear fruit. And it's like, no, let's just keep guilt off. Let's keep sinning in number one, but then not have the guilt in number two, and then just stop right there. No. The whole point of guilt is when you don't bear fruit, you know something's wrong. You're supposed to be great. Happy all the time. I mean radiantly happy. I don't care what comes up, it doesn't matter. You are powerful. You are so powerful that you could rejoice in any circumstance. If you're single, you could stay single and be totally happy. You know, just lonely. Come on. What are you lonely for? You got Jesus. Yeah, I know. I wish I had a man plus Jesus. Oh, I see. Okay. You want Jesus plus. We had a guy in this church once who used to sell juice plus. You know, this is the plus. Juice plus. That was David. David, so juice plus. Huh? Ken? It was also, yeah, but he did it too. They both did it. They're both idiots. They're both selling Juice Plus. I noticed they aren't drinking it today, you know. They're not drinking it, you know. So we can get into all these schemes that we think we're going to get rich quick and we're going to make this, we're going to do that. And those are all shortcut deals. I'll tell you what, it just making it in this world's long. It's hard. It's to the death. You're not going to get in until you die. You can't have just like one little root. You got to have all the roots, all the tree, all the branches with the leaves, and then you bear the fruit. I mean, the fruit just doesn't grow on bare branches. You got to have green leaves, and they never wither. You know why they don't wither? Because of the root. And because of the tree. You know, this summer was a hot summer, and I put all kinds of plants out in my yard, and I watered them pretty assiduously. But I'll tell you what, those 103 and 4 and 5, they just take that moisture right out of the soil. So no matter what, I go out now and I look at all those bushes that I planted and so on. I don't even want to dig them up. I'm so angry at them. You know, and I planted them in good faith, and they lasted quite a while. But I noticed they were getting weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, and I put more water to it and so on. It still didn't work. I hate Texas. No, that hot weather. You got to have a plant that. And I've made up my mind. Next year I'm going to buy shade plants that grow in the shade, but are bushy and full, and don't need a lot of water. I don't know if there is such a plant, but I'm going to look, because I'm tired of going out and watering those things all the time. We have one of those systems and so on, but it didn't do the job. So it's amazing to me how hard I worked. If effort would have counted. I put effort into it. It didn't count. Just wanting that thing, you better find out what the law is of Texas bush growing. You got to find out. And I did find one plant. I don't know what it is. Even I'll have to ask my son. Now, what was that plant? That one grew. And I never watered that one. I didn't do anything for that plant. And it's flourishing in there. It's like, whoa. Because I was building kind of a jungle in the back. Now it looks. You might be right. Might be a weed. Now, your leaf should never wither. No matter what comes up, you ought to be able to endure and rejoice. No matter what comes up, no matter what happens, you ought to say, you know, it doesn't matter. This will work for my good. You know, everything's working for my good. I don't care if I mess up. I don't care how many times I've messed up. I don't care if anything messes up. I can still make it. Because I was made to be great, to be glorious, to be successful, to be powerful, to succeed exceedingly. Oh, I'll tell you, that's God. Now you got it. See, God isn't into this. He isn't into this. He's into this. This is what he wants right here, is where he shows his glory. His glory. We got communion today? Or just bringing the plates out?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. All right. I hope you're blessed. Hope you're blessed. Jack.
I have a question. I do the 1-2 all the time. And I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of others in here that do that as well. So are you saying that 2-3 is a decision first?
Is decision first?
The fruit thing. In other words, you keep doing the 1-2 and you say you got to jump off. So are you saying in other words, what's the key to 3?
Key to 3 is keep repenting on number 1. Keep bringing your fruit to number 1 and saying, that fruit was not wrought in God. That fruit was not wrought in God. That was just me. That was just me at my best. That was just me impressing God. It wasn't born of the Holy Spirit. If it's born of the Holy Spirit, it's easy. You know, that plant I did nothing for that grew, I didn't do anything for it. The ones that I worked hard at, there's too much, you know, might as well grow orchids or something. It's too much attention, too much time. You can't even, you know, you gotta have fruit that comes out naturally just by getting to know Jesus and enjoying yourself. So every day I just spend time with God, get in the box and just tell him, show me all my sin. You know, I'm not looking for fruit, I'm looking for root. I just go for the root. Take care of the roots, the tree will be okay, the leaves will be there, the fruit will be there. But if you don't, if you're just looking for the fruit, you just have to put a lot of plastic fruit on the thing to make it look good. I've even thought of that, plastic plants. It's like, you know, but that isn't what I want. I want the living plant. You know, well, you got to then find what law produces that living plant, the one that never gets brown and doesn't shrivel up, the one that stays green all the time. So you are to be a tree that can endure any marriage, can endure any argument, can endure any sin, can endure anything in this world. Anything this world has to throw at it, you ought to be able to endure. No matter how cold it is, how hot it is, how dry it is, how wet it is, you ought to be able to endure. You learn a lot in this life of all the things that won't make it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you got to decide what is going to make it so that I can have the best. So because God is into best. He's into glory. He is not into, you know, we'll get there and say, is this all I got? It's going to be glorious. He's going to say, this is the best. I offered this to everybody, but not everybody took me up. Most of them just went their own way and missed it. Just a whole bunch of people are missing it. And we're not advertising very well because we ourselves barely are in on the thing. Well, you might want to try Jesus. Will I look like you? Yeah, probably. I tell you, it's not that neat. We're not looking that neat. People aren't flocking. Hey, how do you keep your yard like this? You know, you do see some yards that are better than others. You know, now our grass is great. I mean, that's one thing we got down. But we got the sprinkler thing and all that. It's looking perfect. But the rest of it, you know, you have to kind of work at it till you get it. And I've been doing this for years, trying to get the right plants in the right place so that it'll grow and look the way I want it to look. God is wanting, he's never going to give up his idea. I'm going to have a perfect kingdom, and I'm going to use you. He doesn't want to use angels. He could scratch you and use angels, but he wants to use you. Isn't that amazing? If I were God, I'd just give up. I mean, that is easy to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God made you. God's redeemed you. He's given you the Holy Spirit and Pastor Jim. You're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
I mean, if we have to beat the tar out of you, you're going to make it. You see? You're going to make it. Because you are meant to succeed. And you will be glorious when you get to heaven someday. Woohoo! You know, you will be happy. All right. God is good.